Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired sports information director from SUNY Oneonta. And on today's show, we welcome in Eileen McClafferty, retired director of academic advisement and longtime employee of the college, who will be inducted into our Athletic Hall of Fame as an honorary inductee this year. Welcome to the show, Eileen.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to see you.
First of all, on behalf of the Hall of Fame committee, I'd like to congratulate you on your honor. It certainly is well deserved. In my 23 years there, we worked a lot together on a lot of different things. So to me, it's just natural to be able to honor you this way as someone who contributed so much to what we did in athletics. So,
well, thank you. It's a very humbling sort of experience for me. I've never been a person who wants to draw attention to myself. It's always been about supporting other people and achieving their goals.
Yeah.
So it's very awkward for me to accept this, but at the same point, it's just really nice to know that the work you did made a difference in some way. So thank you.
Certainly, again, over the years that I was there, certainly everything you did made a difference in what we did in athletics. So this certainly fits right in. And I know how you feel. You and I are kind of the same person. We want to be in the background. It's not a big deal. We just do our jobs. But certainly it's nice to be, as you said, recognized for the things you did do. So so let's start kind of from the beginning. Long Island girl, spent a couple of years at Mount St. Mary College, and then you found your way to Notre Dame, which, you know, as we know, Notre Dame is, you know, got the name, and a lot of people think football and all that kind of stuff. But why don't you tell us kind of how that journey came, and then we'll find our way back to SUNY Oneonta.
Sure. I was at Mount St. Mary, thought that I wanted to study special education, and very quickly into some of the courses, I realized that was not my path. Obviously was always good at math, was taking a lot of math classes, and landed up in a sociology class with a faculty member who said, "Eileen, you're really better than what we have here. You really need to be looking at something else." And at that point, I was loving my English classes and thought I really wanted to go and teach high school. And so this faculty member inspired me to apply to some other schools, and transferring into some of the high-level privates is often difficult because they have enrollment caps. But I was fortunate enough to be invited to join the Notre Dame student body days before classes started. And a high school math teacher, Paul Miller, put me in a van and drove me out to Notre Dame so that I could find an apartment. Lived in the basement of somebody's house that was unfinished. It was quite the experience. Worked at Azar's Big Boy, worked in the library, took notes for athletes when they were on the road, and did everything and anything I could to do to help pay the bills. And I got to go to one football game and one basketball game. So that was my full athletic experience at Notre Dame, which is probably the smallest of anybody who's ever attended there.
Yeah.
And I had every intention of staying and going on for my master's, but my dad was very ill. And so I went back to Long Island and was lucky enough to become a permanent sub at my own high school. So I had my own welcome back Cotter moment for those people who are in our age group and know the reference, and had my sisters sometimes in class, which was kind of interesting or painful for them.
Yeah.
And after that year, I just started to look for opportunities to go to school and heard about being a residence hall director and that it would give you a free place to live and help pay for your master's. So I applied to a number of residence hall director positions, and Sue Cagle was gracious enough to think that I had the stuff necessary to be a good RD and hired me. And so for 3 years, I was an RD on campus and took the classes I needed to be certified in New York State. And so I left SUNY Oneonta and went to teach in Worcester, New York, down the road here.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, realized the classroom wasn't really what I wanted. In a small central school. And at the same time, my mom got very ill. So again, I changed jobs and tried to reconfigure my life so that I could be available to help with my mom and her recovery.
Yeah.
And after that, I applied for a position over at Delhi as an associate director of Residence Life and got hired there. And then Sue Cagle was still in Oneonta. And she said, Eileen, if you're going to be an RD over there, come back over here. So she brought me back to Oneonta. And then there was a position in the registrar's office. And Nancy Walters, again, thought that I had something to bring to her office. And I was lucky enough to get a position working there as the assistant registrar. And it wasn't long after that the person I had replaced decided to come back to her position. And Steve Perry had been asked by Alan Donovan to create an academic advisement center. And he came to me and said, Eileen, we really don't see you going back to the residence hall. How would you like to partner with me? And let's start an academic advisement center. And the rest is history. For almost 30 years, you know, working in advisement and working at the college. And it's been a great journey. Yeah. And, you know, it's people like Fran Daly and Ed Griesmer, and then Steve Perry and Gene Miller, and of course, Roger Sullivan, who made a lot of things possible for me. Yeah. And I'm forever thankful and grateful that I had such great mentors and great leaders around me.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about those people who influence you and people who aren't afraid to give you an opportunity because they do see something that maybe you don't really see right away. I mean, I kind of think that was kind of a little bit my journey too, you know. I mean, I found this little area, sports information, which nobody really knows about. You know, they just think you're do all, you know, stats, you know, that kind of stuff. But people do encourage you, and then you kind of figure it out for yourself a little bit. So why don't you talk about how you, you know, in these positions, like how do you think it helped you, you know, when you were growing and coming along, how do you think that, because obviously you've done so many different things outside of academic advisement, and we'll talk a little bit about those things, but how do you think, you know, your growth, you know, how do you think that took place during those early years of kind of, you know, getting your feet wet?
Well, I think I've always known how to balance my time, take on extra responsibility, be conscious and caring for the people who are around me. Because when you are surrounded with people who have like values, or even different values, but if you respect where they're coming from, you can achieve so much. And I think that hard work, determination, not being fearful of taking on something new, all helped me be as successful as I was. And I have good analytical and critical thinking skills, and that certainly benefited me in the positions that I had. Right. But I think the biggest thing when I think about being involved in athletics is that the number of jobs that I held when I was in college allowed me to understand the demands of the college athlete and the struggles they had trying to balance their work and their activities, because it really isn't any different than trying to balance two or three jobs and going to school. Right. And having never been an athlete myself, I think I got the opportunity to live vicariously through all of their experiences, which was kind of fun, because as my sisters like to joke, the only trophy I have is one for being president of the math club.
Yeah. So.
So they're all getting a good kick out of the fact that I'm being inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame, because I'm probably the least athletic out of all of my sisters.
See, that's awesome. So those experiences now, so you're in a position now to be able to, I guess, like you say, support and advise and try to find resources to help all students, you know, not specifically student athletes, even though, you know, you were a faculty mentor from the get-go when we, you know, instituted that program when Tracy started it. Yeah. So, you know, tell me about how that worked for you, you know, being able to now influence and help students.
Well, I always felt that there was a little too much focus on being there as an athlete, and being a student was the second thing. And for me, it was always important that the student come first, because for most students, athletics is not going to be the thing that they're going to make a career out of. And so I think Tracy and I were a good balance for each other.
Right.
And it's not that Tracy didn't think academics was important, and it's not that I didn't think that athletics was, but each of our positions had us focusing a little bit more on one thing than the other. Right. And so I think we meshed as a really good team to try to bring the best ideas forward to support the student athletes so that they were not only good representatives of the college, but that they were advancing for themselves, right, that they were getting the richest and best opportunities provided to them, and that they were taking advantage of them. Because for me, it's always been that going to college, being a member of a team or a club or student government, that all of those things are privileges. And with privileges come responsibility. And I wanted to be sure that as we put together policies, codes, reviewed students, supported students, that those types of ideas were always at the forefront of what we did.
Right. And what are some of the things that you think from your side of it that you were able to develop that you think were, you know, kind of highlights for you to be able to institute some programs and things?
I think the first thing was that I was on IAB, the Intercollegiate Athletic Board, at the time that we made the decision to move from Division I to Division III men's soccer.
Yeah.
For me, that was always important because although with Title IX, because we hadn't established Division I, it wasn't seen as an inequity. From my point of view, it was. Lots of resources were going to one men's team, and there was not equal resources across the board for all the other athletic teams, male or female. Right. And so bringing that team down to Division III allowed us to, I think, right-size athletics,
yeah,
and provide a more equitable distribution of not only resources, but attention and policies across the board.
Yeah.
So I was very pleased when we did that. I think some of the other things that either with Steve Perry or with Tracy that were implemented that I'm pretty happy with has always been a budget that clearly supported athletics, but also looked at that budget in terms of what is the student body in general receiving from this as well, that it wasn't just about the athletes, but do we have facilities for students to use? Are we providing venues that are appropriate for students to watch the athletes participate? So I think that the budget process has always been something I was really pleased with. Instituting, I think, drug testing,
yeah,
having solid Title IX evaluations,
yeah,
and putting in the faculty mentor program.
Yeah.
And having a faculty member or a professional staff member attached to each athletic team so that there was someone else supporting the athletes and at times maybe guiding or acting as a sounding board for the coaches. Mm-hmm. I think putting in some GPA requirements and the freshman study halls and the freshman academic plans and the monitoring that we did for students who were on probation, all of those things, I think, helped not only the coaches, the teams, but also the whole reputation of the college. Right. And for me, that was always another piece. How does this reflect upon the college as a whole? How does it help the college as a whole? Is what we're doing really just about a few students, or does it have a greater benefit? And certainly there are things you do to assist one individual student.
Right.
But when you're looking at big resources, you need to be thinking more globally.
Right.
And I think that we were successful in doing those sorts of things.
Yeah, we certainly were. And I think that, I think, like you said, because I think the people that were involved were on the same team, you know, they were all in the same, mm-hmm, you know, everybody's in the right direction. And I think that a lot of that came from Dr. Perry, who I think had a global understanding of the student experience anyway, from what he had done, you know, because he had been at the college for so many years and kind of, mm-hmm, did a whole bunch of different things in some offices and got to learn and, you know, see other people in action, so to speak. And of course, I think Dr. Donovan was a huge part of this too, because, mm-hmm, you know, his, you know, I think his philosophy was, you know, if you hire good people and you let them kind of do what they do best, things will take care of themselves. And I think that's kind of, you know, like yourself and Dr. Perry and Tracy and, you know, other people that were involved in athletics, even some other faculty members, you know, Dr. Bush and Dr. Bining, you know, I think all those people were all in the same mold. They all wanted to do what was best for the campus, you know, and if athletics was kind of coming along with it, you know, everybody else kind of rises, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
So your involvement, you know, not just within athletics or whatever, but you certainly were pretty active around campus with a lot of student groups and, you know, talk a little bit about how those kind of, you know, fall together and what you were trying to do, you know, across campus.
I'm trying to think about what else. I suppose the turning point, I was on the Student Progress Committee.
Yeah.
And this was the committee that reviewed policies for students at large in terms of what GPA did you need to maintain in order to be considered a student at the college. And when we kept, when we'd review students at the end of the semester, and some students would be dismissed, unfortunately, some of them would appeal and we would grant their appeal and allow them to come back to campus. And we always said, well, we can't just bring them back. And so what can we do to help them be successful? And so courses like Turning Point or the individual mentoring we did, we've tried quite a number of different programs to try to make sure that those students upon returning would make the best of the opportunity granted to them, and that the things that had hindered them in the previous semester would not continue to create a downfall in their GPA, and that we would see a turnaround. And we use some of those types of tactics with some of the student athletes, even though they might've had over a 2.0, how do we get them to a 2.2? How do we get them to a 2.5?
Right.
It also allowed us to constantly be identifying what are the particular tipping points for each student and how those change over time, what's happening emotionally, psychologically, politically, geographically that are affecting students. I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened, that was a very different semester for many of our students.
Yeah.
And so anyone who might have previously been a good solid C or B student, all of a sudden might have been crashing. What kind of things do we put in place? When we went to COVID, do we give students the opportunity for pass-fail grading? And what kind of advisement do they need in order to make the best choice for pass-fail grading? So athlete or not, what are the things we're doing to make sure that we are structuring the environment in a way where they can be successful?
Right.
I was involved with a sorority as a advisor for a short period of time. And I know that some of the athletes are also in Greek organizations. So learning about something that I had never been a part of, that I had my own biases about, allowed me to open my eyes and see how that social structure functions.
Right.
And I was also on the board that reviewed what are going to be the policies for how Greek life moves forward. And I had a great opportunity to work with Gene Miller closely on that.
Yeah.
I was on the retention subcommittee where Roger Sullivan was the chair. So all of these opportunities to be involved with good leaders and watch good leaders helped me then think about, how do I better conduct myself? How do I better conduct meetings? How do I better work with a staff? How do I better motivate a staff? How do I better motivate a student?
Yeah.
And so I think keeping your eyes and ears open to learning at all moments is really the key to being successful, and the thing that helped me in my career to be open to learning and knowing that change is important.
Yeah.
I'm reading the Louise Penny novels right now. A friend of mine introduced me to them. And I think that Gamache, the inspector, has four questions that he tells all of his new employees to think about. And I think the words are, if I should have thought about this, I don't know, I'm sorry, can you help me? And I can't remember what the fourth is, but there's sort of those mantras of don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know something. Faking it isn't going to get you there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because you're always going to stumble if you fake it.
Right.
And stumbling's okay too. You know, we learn from our mistakes and we evolve from those things. So I think trying to help students see where we each shifted paths and where we each failed or stumbled means you pick yourself up and you move forward. Right. And that's a great lesson for all athletes, since they well know, because they'll stumble again and again, but they'll be successful as well.
You're not getting any better in sports if you're not failing, right?
That's right.
A lot, you know, 99% of the time, we do know that sometimes, you know, maybe it just doesn't happen, but most of the times you can correct something and move on.
But we don't like that word failure, but failure is good.
Yeah, right, right. That's right. You don't like that word. So you said that you attended one basketball game and one football game while you were at Notre Dame. And of course, now, you know.
And they lost both of them.
Oh, geez. There you go. See, that's probably, they probably said, don't come back, right?
I was not the good luck charm for the Fighting Irish.
Can you remember any of the big names from the game that you were there? I mean, certainly.
Kelly Trapuca is
the person. Yeah, I was just going to say, was Kelly Trapuca really there? Yeah, he was quite a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's a legend. But now you're at Oneonta, and your involvement in athletics and so many different things. Well, certainly now you're a fan. Can you talk about some of the few highlight moments for you as someone who's a fan of the athletic department? You know,
there are the silly moments, like going to women's field hockey and trying to figure out how you can run bent over like that with a stick for hours on end, because I can't even lean over the table and do a puzzle for 5 minutes without my back screaming at me. And then watching lacrosse games and figuring out how do they watch that little tiny ball that I would be ducking all the time.
Yeah.
And they get it into that little net. You know, but for me, soccer has been the thing that really motivated me a lot, and watching the men's and women's soccer team as they moved and were highly successful almost every single year, whether it was under Tracy, Ian Byrne, Ian Mac, you know, all the different Ians. And then of course, Liz McGrail. And Liz and I worked very closely together. I was mentor of her team for all the years that she was there. Yeah. And what a pleasure to learn more about soccer. I now know I can identify an offside now. I didn't even know what it was when I started. Like I said, never an athlete. You know, and what I really appreciated was the trust that Liz gave me to work with the team, and how we each supported one another in some of the crises times, both professionally and personally in our lives. And I know she has moved on to other ventures, but certainly I respect the work that she did with her team. And it was so exciting when Tracy won NCAA championship, and certainly Liz came very close a number of times. So whether it was making chocolate clusters for the women to have on the bus on the ride, just to know that, you know, people were rooting for them, or traveling to one of the venues where they were playing a game and trying to stay warm while you were rooting them on. I think being able to meet with parents early on and help recruit good students to the college for me was always a highlight, because I got to talk about academics and athletics and make sure that parents understood from the beginning what our programs were about versus what they might be like at other schools, and really knowing that we were going to put an emphasis on academics and that they needed to perform both on and off the field, which I think has always been our mantra, right?
On and off
the field.
Yeah.
Both academics and, you know, the way in which you conduct yourself.
Yeah. So your involvement, I would probably consider it on the high side of, you know, what you've done and how, you know, yourself and, like we mentioned, you know, Dr. Bush and Dr. Vining and people like that, you know, kind of on that other end of the spectrum. Why do you think it was so important to find, like, to be involved with athletics and be involved the way you were?
When I first took on academic advisement, there was this whole notion about how student athletes got early preference to registration. And it was sort of a free-for-all with no guardrails in terms of what they were taking. So not only were they off track for graduation, but they were many times choosing the favorite professors or maybe the easier professors. And so bad choices, also limiting the student body in general from getting classes that they needed or wanted.
Right.
And so my first thing was, well, we need to get more to what do they need versus what do they want? How do we keep them on track for graduation? How do we make sure they're graduating in 4 years or less, depending on credit they're bringing in from high school? How do we make sure that they're taking the right classes to get their financial aid? So that was sort of my first step, was something is amiss and how do we fix this problem?
Right.
And then as I started talking with Bart Ingersoll, who was overseeing athletics, or even back to Steve Garner, like what are the things we need to do to put some guardrails in place to help the students make better choices and the right choices for them and for the institution? And then I started to learn all of the intricacies of the issues that they were having with trying to schedule classes for students. So it kept getting broader and broader. And Steve Perry, when he was on the Intercollegiate Athletic Board, brought me on because some of the things I was bringing up were things we should be discussing at the athletic board. Yeah. And as I met more coaches, then you realize, oh, they each have individual needs. And it was one of those, I don't know if I went down the rabbit hole, I got caught in the tornado, but it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, then I joined the Hall of Fame with you.
Yeah.
And so you've watched the players on the field. You've worked with them individually on their career goals, their academic goals, their personal goals. And now you think about which of those students or which of those teams deserves recognition and deserves to be on that wall of fame,
right?
You know, the Hall of Fame wall. And so I just think it was sort of a natural progression, but always at the heart, are we doing the right thing for the student? And is the student, him or herself, finding a pathway that will let them leave Oneonta knowing that they have a career, a job, a passion, a following, and that they've had a good experience? Because we want students to say Oneonta was home.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so that's always been, I guess, the guiding light for me.
Right.
Be in the background and push the students along. Yeah. All along my way, someone saw something in me and helped me identify it and gave me a push. Right. And so whether it was the policies we put in place or the individual work with students, here's what I see in you. Let's give you a push.
Right. So, you know, we've mentioned some names for you that, you know, sort of were there for you and kind of, like you said, you know, pushed you along to do things, right? I think that's, you know, if no one's pushing you, they probably don't care.
And sometimes pulling.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yep. They're there and they're like, hey, listen, I think you can really help us here. You know, why don't you come with us? You know, kind of, you're right. You're right. Pushing and pulling, right? It's a balance.
And sometimes we'd pull back.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. But who else in your time at Oneonta? I mean, who are some of the other people that you feel you'd like to maybe just single out, maybe to say thank you? And
it would have to be, Alan Donovan, Nancy Klinuski, Steve Perry, Roger Sullivan, Gene Miller, early on, Fran Daly and Ed Griesmer, and certainly Sue Cagle.
Yeah.
Nancy Walters, who brought me into the registrar's office. And if that hadn't happened, Steve never would have really known what I had to offer.
Right.
But mostly my staff and the people who are really close to me.
Yeah.
So Joanne Murphy, who has been the men's faculty mentor my side for lots of years. Maureen Artali in the registrar's office.
Yeah.
Karen Brown in admissions. Monica Grau, who oversaw orientation and first year experience. These were really my go-to people all the time. Melissa Fallon in the counseling center, how often did we reach out to her for advice, whether it was athletes or students in general? Just all of these people who have created a team for us, and they were more than your team. They were your friends.
Yeah.
They were the people you relied on for your tough moments at work. And I'm forever grateful that we were surrounded by people who were really invested in their work and believed in the good that the college could do and continue to strive to create even more goodness.
Yeah.
And we'll never be perfect. We'll all make mistakes. We'll all stumble. But I think we had a really, really good ride.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think really the final exam kind of was COVID, where we all had to pitch in to do whatever we could to did, you know, again, you know, the campus needed us and we were there. We'll do whatever we need to do for Oneonta, you know, and I think that's really why we all stayed for as long as we did and did what we did, right? We all know the countless hours that we put in and, mm-hmm. and sometimes it can be thankless and, you know, but I'm saying thank you to you because you were incredible. So,
well, it's been incredible working with you, Jeff. You know, you have so much dedication, so much energy, so many good ideas. You're always steady, yeah. steady Eddie. Yeah. It's just been such a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think we're good. I mean, this has been awesome to be able to visit with you. And certainly I'm looking forward to June 10th, Saturday, June 10th, where we will induct you formally into our Hall of Fame. And then certainly you'll be able to go by the field house and see your plaque on the wall at any time you'd like when it gets mounted.
So, you are going to put it up in a dusty corner, right?
No. It'll be out there so everyone can see. It'll be good. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, say congratulations again, and thank you for everything you've meant to athletics and to me. I mean, you know, you and I would talk a lot about stuff, you know what I mean? And certainly, again, like you said, someone who you kind of, you listen and you just absorb and you know, kind of make it go, you know what I mean? You make it work. And I know that a lot of times when you and I talked, it would make me think about things. So I appreciate that.
We've all been good teams.
Yeah.
And Tracy and Liz certainly topped that for me in terms of my work with athletics, along with you. And then, you know, I can't say enough about Steve, Roger, and Gene in terms of my professional work.
Right. Yeah, it's, that's like the triad of greatness right there.
Yeah.
I tell you, it is. I tell you, the people we've had on that campus, and you're just like, wow, how lucky.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for joining. And we certainly will see you on June 10th. And it'll be great to see your smiling face.
It'll be great to see you. And of course, I guess as soon as that ceremony's over, you'll be getting on a plane to go down to Florida for your own award.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
very excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's, it's going to be great to be there. I'll get to see some colleagues that I haven't seen in quite a while. And Irene and, you know, Garrett and Gunnar are going to come down.
That's great.
Well, so it'll be fun to share those things, you know, with them, because they're both doing very well. And so, it, you know, I think it's just kind of will be a nice time. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. How wonderful to share that with your family.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks again. We'll see you in June. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for joining us in the Ozone, and hopefully you'll join us next time.